the more you play, the lighter you are, the more vibrant your energy is going to be. And the more vibrant you are and the happier you are, you spread that energy everywhere you go. And that to me is one of the most healing things that people can do in this world. Shining your own light, just being a beacon for others to follow. And we have so many people in this world who are just so serious, their head down in their computers. They never look up. They never think what brings them joy. And they're just constantly just in the grind instead of like living, which is what we're here to do. You know, we are here to live this life and to explore and play. And I think one of the things that really cause a lot of illness is our lack of playing. We just get so rigid and so structured and we forget to have fun. And it really just comes back to when I'm happy and I feel good, not only am I radiating this energy that others absolutely feel and they notice it when they're with me in person, but it also helps me with the projects that I work on. It brings a new vitality to what I'm doing. And it actually puts me on a journey of doing what I want to be doing instead of just continuing to do something because I think I should be doing it. It's connected to every single part of my existence. If I stop playing and my body's not happy, my work fails or my relationships fail, you know? And it's just, if people understood that if they're more joyous, they're going to attract more joyous connections and more joyous opportunities, I think they would understand like the power of play.
Welcome to Pivoting Pharmacy with Nutrigenomics, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, a must-have resource for pharmacist entrepreneurs seeking to enhance patient care while enjoying career and life. Join us as we pivot into nutrigenomics using pharmacy and nutrition for true patient-focused care. Explore how to improve chronic conditions rather than just manage them. Celebrate entrepreneurial triumphs and receive priceless advice. Align your values with a career that profoundly impacts patients. Together, we'll raise the script on health and pivot into a brighter future. Hello and welcome to Pivoting Pharmacy with Nutrigenomics. I'm Dr. Lawful, Doctor of Pharmacy and Certified Nutritional Genomics Specialist. Now, whether you are a patient or a healthcare practitioner, you may be battling with a health condition that seems to persist. I understand. It feels like you've done everything and feel like giving up at this point, but take a moment and look at your achievements. You already possess strength as you juggle career and family. Now, let's tap into that strength to reclaim your well-being. Imagine a life not simply endured, but one full of energy and vibrant health. It's not far-fetched. It begins with the choices you make each day. The power is in your actions, and that's why I'm excited for today's episode. We're about to dive into life-changing, affirming insights with our extraordinary guest that most certainly will inspire you to not just dream about feeling and getting better, but actually stepping into that reality. So get comfortable and lean into this unique opportunity to learn from a truly transformative health and wellness educator, Lynn Rivers. Lynn's larger-than-life mission is shaped by Lynn's own powerful story of overcoming the unthinkable. From battling life's most challenging storms, losing loved ones, homelessness, neglect, struggle with gender identity, fighting against illness, to rising high above them, empowered and with a renewed sense of purpose. This journey isn't a tale of the past. It's the driving force behind Lynn's phenomenal work today, a compelling testament to Lynn's belief, you deserve a better life and you can create it. Today, we delve into a powerful conversation about the often overlooked, awe-inspiring capacity of our bodies to heal themselves and the profound intertwining of mental and physical health. Listen in. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for joining us on Pivoting Pharmacy with Nutrigenomics. Let's kick this off by diving into your story. Tell us what exciting journey led you to where you are now.
Here with you. And my journey was not for the faint of the heart. I grew up chronically ill. I had pneumonia as a baby when I was 1 and 3 and was deathly ill at that point and ended up with asthma and a lot of breathing issues growing up. And that in turn turned into a lot of health conditions in my early teens and 20s and up into my 30s. I was on antibiotics and it wrecked my gut as a child. So it just kind of carried over on into a lot of other conditions. And I had hormonal issues, endometriosis, depression, anxiety, the whole nine yards, and eventually leading up to a couple near-death experiences because my body was so out of balance. And that whole journey really led me onto a path of finding my own healing and understanding what was happening on a cellular level with my organs, my mind, everything, and to heal myself first. And then in turn, share that with other people so they too can overcome chronic health conditions and mental disorders as well.
Wow. When you said antibiotics until your 20s, like I can't even fathom being on antibiotics that long. So no wonder you would have all those gut issues and other medical problems as well as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's funny, like if you grew up in the 80s and the 90s, you were handed antibiotics like they were candy. They gave you antibiotics for everything, including viruses, which we know you don't give antibiotics for viruses, but that's what they did at the time because they weren't aware of the damage that they cause. And so it wrecked my gut microbiome. And I had trouble digesting the majority of my food, which in turn caused a ton of issues in my body. And I'm sure we'll dive into the gut microbiome and all of the implications that it can have on your system if it's not, you know, in balance. And so, yeah, it really did. I remember the time that I stopped taking antibiotics was probably about age 17 when something just said, you need to find the root cause of this. Like it was an intuitive nudge. And at that point, the internet was barely starting out and we had dial up and I got on Google to search. Who would have thought, right? I got on Google to think of what can I do to get rid of this thing? And sure enough, I found something and I was the kind where I'm like, well, this isn't making me better. So let me try this. And sure enough, that thing never came back. I did it once and it never came back. And I had been on antibiotics like 5 times in a row for that same thing.
Amazing.
And so that just spiraled me into this healing journey of like, this is it. Like, I want to understand the human body like no one else.
Yeah. So you went on your own personal healing journey. Mm-hmm. Tell us, where are you now?
Where am I now? So I consider myself a functional health and wellness expert. I have 15 years of education and research and personal trial and error that I put into my business, which is actually course creation and sharing this information so everybody has access to it. You know, when I was doing functional medicine as a one-on-one practice, I had clients who were paying $3,000 to get the testing that they needed and the information that they needed. And it just shook me because I realized that no one else has access to this unless they have that kind of money, because unfortunately it's not covered under insurance. So I switched out of one-on-one practice and I'm now creating courses for people that really share all of my knowledge, whether it's the life coaching, spiritual counseling, the mindset, mentality, hypnosis, functional medicine, nutrition, the whole nine yards goes into my coursework for people at this point.
That's so commendable, Lynn. You learned so much. And now you said, you know what? I'm going to share it all. There's no gatekeeping with Lynn.
No. And you know, I think the biggest thing for me is I practice what I preach. And so I was not ready to share it on a mass level like I am now, because I really wanted to fine line what actually works for people and what is just guessing games. Because unfortunately, just like the Western medical system, a lot of natural practitioners too, they're still just playing the guessing game instead of really getting down to the root and understanding like, these are the things that you can do with a 90% probability of getting better, instead of just like, oh, well, let's give you this and this and this and find out and see if something works. I really wanted to understand it and know within myself, like, does this actually work? If so, great, I'm going to share it. So everything that I share comes from also my personal experience of utilizing it and my clients and having them utilize it too. So it's beautiful.
Yes, it is. So let's talk a little bit about that, go into that coursework. Your coursework delves into understanding the root cause of chronic illness, right? So what are some patterns you've observed and how can listeners apply the information to their own health journey?
Yeah. So unfortunately, one of the biggest numbers that we have in the world right now is 50% of adults in America have diabetes or are pre-diabetic, 50%. And we're tipping that point. We're going over 50% right now. And no one's aware of that. And unfortunately, a lot of people who are pre-diabetic don't even know that they're pre-diabetic because they're so used to living in a certain way. They're so used to their body feeling a certain way, always being wired, always being tired, one or the other. And they're not even aware that they have this problem until, unfortunately, it reaches the point of diabetes.
Right.
And so that is one of the biggest things that I'm seeing. And if people knew this alone, they could do something about it to make sure that they don't reach that point. Right. And a lot of this stems from insulin resistance, mm-hmm. which again, the majority of the population is insulin resistance because we're eating way too many carbs. We're not designed to eat that many carbs. And so our body is constantly spiking. And so one of the first things that I would tell my clients is lower your carb intake. We're not meant to have 300 grams of carbs a day. We're not even meant to have like 150 a day, but we've become so accustomed to overeating and eating carbs because of their comfort level, right? And it is literally wrecking our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I was pre-diabetic. Even though I was thin, I looked healthy, I was pre-diabetic. And I moved out of that space because I realized like, wow, this is what's happening. I shifted my diet in certain ways, which I share, and I'm no longer pre-diabetic and my blood sugar has been stable for probably 2 years now. And so that's one of the biggest things though, biggest patterns that I find within clients and people coming into the course at this point.
Oh, thank you for sharing with that. I can sign on to that as well. It's 100% true. We see that the high carb intake and the pre-diabetes affecting the health and contributing to chronic illness on top of chronic illness. So thank you for sharing that. Now, I want to talk about the body self-healing. You've emphasized on the body's inherent ability to heal itself. Can you elaborate on this idea a little bit further, especially how would you direct someone to tap into their own body's healing potential?
So this is twofold. There's a few directions I can take this if you don't mind. First off, our body is its own organism. And a lot of people in this world, they tend to go one extreme to the other and they deem everything a spiritual problem as in, oh, you're just low vibration, you're negative, blaming all of the mental aspects on their health being low versus all the people who think like, oh, it's just your physical body, when in fact you need to bring both into play, right? Like your mental components are going to affect your body just as much as your body is going to affect your mental health. Mm-hmm. And when your body does not have what it needs, it cannot heal. And when I say what it needs, our bodies are comprised of the same elements of earth. All of the minerals that comprise earth also our body entails, mm-hmm. right? And when you don't have the nutrients that your body actually needs, it starts sapping them from other systems in the body. And so even magnesium, for example, if you take magnesium, for example, it plays over 300 chemical processes in our body. We only hear about the calming effects, right? Like when you're going to go buy magnesium, it's, oh, well, I want to calm down and go to sleep a little bit easier. But no one talks about the fact that it plays over 300 chemical processes in the body, including mental health, how your organs function, your digestion, the whole nine yards. And so it's when you don't have those minerals in the right amounts, your body literally cannot function and it starts deconstructing itself in so many different ways. And when you actually have those and you pay attention to what you're eating and are you getting the right minerals and the right supplements, your body can and will heal because it is meant and it is designed to heal any ailment that comes on. An ailment is an imbalance in the system, and our body is always naturally seeking to find that solution itself, right? And that is why you can have people with stage 4 cancers, you can have them with this tumors the size of basketballs, and when they get their health in check, nothing else, they're not doing anything different, these things disappear. There have actually been people who have gone into the hospital to find out that they once had a tumor the size of melons in their stomach. And the way that they were able to determine that was because of the space that it had left. And they never had any idea. They had just like changed their lifestyle. And it's things like that. Our body is meant to heal. And we just simply need to make sure that it has what it needs to heal instead of continuing to give it poison, whether that's food or medication that's not necessary. Those things are going to unfortunately, they're detrimental to your body and the healing capabilities. And so it's when I talked about having other people heal their body, one of the best things you could do is make sure you know what your nutrient panels are. And there are apps that you can use these days to find out, like, what food am I eating? What are they giving me? What do I need a supplement with? And it's so beautiful when you can actually use one of those and actually only supplement with what you need, because we live in a world where we think, like, oh, the more supplements, the better. If you're taking a multivitamin and you don't need the extra B vitamins, it can cause a lot of harm. Right. It's B vitamins are not beneficial for you when they're over the dose of what you need. And so for myself, I'm only taking 4 extra things because I know which ones I'm actually getting from food versus what I'm needing because I need to make up for whatever I'm not getting in my diet. And that alone will change the game. Like, you will find your body healing so much easier when you actually give it what it needs.
Yeah, that is so true. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize. That they don't realize that, yes, we know we're different, we're individuals, mm-hmm. but when it comes to supplements, we're unique. We don't all need the same supplements. We don't all need the same amounts. And then from a nutrigenomic standpoint, I've discovered that some supplements could be detrimental to certain people, you know, so not everyone needs the same supplements. And it's important to be able to draw out exactly what we need. And we will see huge turnaround in our health when we identify that. So thank you for sharing about the body self-healing with us. You touched on earlier about mental disorders. And I know that that's as part of your diverse expertise, you do help people overcome mental disorders. And so what role have you found that these disorders play in chronic illness? And how have you been able to guide individuals in managing them, Lynn?
Well, here's the big thing. In the world of microbiology, we are finding that over 80% of what happens in your gut affects your mental health. Over 80%. The majority of your serotonin is created in your gut. And these are things that we can't ignore anymore. There's no reason to run to a psychiatrist to get medication for mental disorders anymore before going to a nutritionist and finding out what's happening in your gut. Because for myself, I was depressed. I was suicidal for a good chunk of my life. And like I told you, my gut microbiome had been destroyed by antibiotics and I wasn't digesting my food. And I ended up with SIBO, which is small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And so I was having so many different digestive disorders. And what I found was there are certain bacterias that trigger. So it's like the gut-brain barrier and they trigger episodes. So when I corrected the imbalance in my system and I stopped eating the foods that were feeding those specific bacterias that were causing that, I completely shifted. I went from feeling completely unstable for about 32 years of my life to really feeling even keel and ready to take on the world, actually doing things that felt good to myself. I was actually living life finally, right? And so when I look at the mental health component, it's really touchy point for me because you see so many people still mental health awareness and we need to find more medications or we need to find better solutions when we're still not realizing, hey, we need to go to the center of our being, our gut. It's literally core existence, right? And to really understand that diet plays a much bigger role in our entire existence than we ever thought, but we have the research now. We have the science behind it. It's no longer this secret, and yet it's still not getting out there to the people who really need it. Of course, to you and I and the people who are in that same niche, right, they're going to understand that, but the populations who need it, they're not getting that information. So we need to make this more mass spread. This should be stuff that's being talked about on the news or in TV shows. You know, it's
the TV commercial should be talking about nutrition.
Exactly. Because so many people, what their life would switch so drastically if they even just found out that, for example, salicylates in greens and in certain fruits and vegetables, that plays such a big role in aggression and depression. And it's been directly correlated to autism, And myself, when I removed salicylates, I'll be completely honest, I was a very, frustrated and aggressive child. And that carried into my adult life, where I just felt like this constant irritability. And I could never figure out why until I stopped eating a ton of salicylates in my diet, and it stopped. And that was like one of the big moments for me where I actually started diving into the research, because I'm like, how do we not know this? We're putting this stuff in our bodies every day, and we just kind of follow along in the media. We hear like, oh, it's so good to eat a ton of vegetables. It's so good to eat all of these things. But we forget the way that we used to eat more ancestrally. And even just like 100 years ago, we weren't eating all these greens and all these vegetables and all these fruits in mass quantities. We had protein, we had a small carb, and we had a green of some sort, right? So our body could easily process it. But the plant chemicals that we're ingesting and our liver can't break it down, that affects our mental health. That's literally seeping into our bloodstream and causing so many issues that we're not talking about. So I'm extremely passionate about this, because there's so many people dealing with mental health issues and they're not getting the information that they actually need.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to, you know, moderation when it comes to the nutrition, like not just having only major amounts of our nutrition coming from one source.
Exactly.
And then going back to the, it would be nutrition in conjunction for those with mental illness, nutrition in conjunction with a therapist would definitely be beneficial. But here, what you're saying, that only relying on a therapist and not addressing the root cause, going back to our gut and things that we're eating and the bacterial overgrowth, we can't overlook that.
And I think that's one of the big keys. And I'm happy that you brought that up, because what I have found throughout my life and throughout my clients and watching people and studies is that you cannot heal through traumatic events if you do not have a healthy body. Because what you consider a traumatic event re-triggering is actually your body imbalance causing that trigger to come back over and over again. When you have a healthy body and you're actually able to process your emotions, you're so much more able to navigate the traumas that you've experienced and to actually work through them. So doing this in conjunction with a therapist where you're healing and you're actually able to sit and talk with someone and hear the advice that they're giving you, or to hear the reflections that they're giving you, instead of just being on that constant fight or flight because your vagus nerve is flaring, then you can actually heal. Like, that's why I'm saying it's like all of the above. You need to target it from every perspective and not just this one approach, and the way people could shift if they only had this information.
Yeah, definitely a shift. And that's what you and I are here for. And you also function as a health coach, a life coach as well. So I know that that role, you've been able to assist your clients with chronic illnesses in making these practical lifestyle adjustments based on their health needs so that their chronic conditions can improve. I'm curious to know how your personal past challenges have shaped your approach to how you interact with your clients in life coaching or health coaching when it comes to health and wellness education.
Yeah, good question. So with my journey, I had to do the majority of my stuff on my own. I didn't have support. My mom died very early in life and my dad was an alcoholic. So I didn't have anyone guiding me. So I had to find and dig myself out of my own holes. And even when I had therapists, they did not know how to help me because I was already asking the questions that they were trying to ask me. So I was like one step ahead of them always. So I was just like, okay, this is just best for me to do this. And so I really learned to navigate myself by being inwards and spending a good 7 years mostly by myself. Like every once in a while, I would tap into society, but I really liked being alone and learning more about myself. And so I took that in with my clients and really found that helping them learn to navigate and find themselves was key to the whole picture, because a lot of them weren't getting better because they were in unhealthy relationships and they didn't know how to get out of them, right? And oftentimes that would be reversed because they wouldn't get out of unhealthy relationships because they were so sick and were relying on them. And so I was really able to utilize my past and my trauma and my very unhealthy, toxic relationships that I was in to really be able to see these people at face value and to understand where they were, but to also not just allow them to play the victim. Because I did that. I played victim to society for so long where I thought everything was attacking me and I was pointing fingers left and right, until one day I realized I'm the one that created this. Sure, yes, I was sick as a child. But once I became an adult, I'm the one that shifts away from what I believe. I'm the one that shifts away from the mentality that I had and how I grew up, where I grew up. And I'm the one that changes that, right? And so I was able to use that and to really become more of a bit of a rigid coach, if you will. I did not let my clients continue to bring the same thing over and over to sessions, because it is typical for people to come in and have the same problem that they had week after week after week. And for me, it was like, if you're not going to figure out why this is happening in your life and what you've done to create this, then I'm not the match for you, because I'm not going to sit here and listen to you do the same thing over and over again when you're paying me all this money.
You don't want to be an enabler of
exactly
their continued exactly problems. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you for that. And it's about empowerment too, right? That accountability empowers the clients to make those changes. And it is, the power is within them. You know, we're here as guides for them to help them make that transformation. But the ultimate individual who makes that transformation is them. And once they realize that, the capabilities, what they're able to do with their health and in their lives is endless.
It gives me chills, you know, because you know what they're capable of. And all you can do is plant the seed and allow them to take it or not, right? Like right. There, some people are going to hear it right away and others, it's going to take them a couple years. But when you see it and you just, you know that it took and you're just like, yes, like they're going to do something with it. And it's so beautiful when people reach that point of realizing that they create their own reality. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, what is going on in my life? Like, how did I end up here?
Yeah.
You know, and it's so beautiful.
It is. Okay. So we're going to pivot a little bit into genetics with Lynn. We're talking about the role of the genetic mutation MAO gene. So Lynn, how does the MAO gene affect individuals with chronic illness?
Okay. So the MAO gene, which is the monoamine oxidase A gene, it actually can be an aggressive gene. And so I say aggressive in the sense of it's called the warrior gene. And in other unhealthy terms, it's called the killer gene. And the reason is because the story is that it was utilized by warriors because we needed to have more aggressive people at battle. And in this day and age, a lot of the prison population has this gene mutation. And it's so researched at this point that an inmate can have their sentence lessened if there is this gene detected in their system and they take it to court. It can and it has, and it's not common, but it can be used in court to lessen their sentence.
Interesting.
Yeah. And going back to childhood trauma, if you experience childhood trauma and you have this genetic mutation, it's more likely to express when you're older. If you live a happy childhood and you're never aggressed or you're never put in a lot of trauma, the chances of this gene expressing when you're older are slim. I have this genetic mutation. Women have different forms of it from men. It expresses differently. It can express in depression. It can express in aggression. There's a bunch of different ways it expresses depending on which gene variant you have. And what I am finding, and there's a lot of study that I'm doing on this, and so it's not, I can't give you like, these are the conclusions. It's just what we're finding right now is through our diet, it affects your gut microbiome. And whatever's happening in your gut is going to be the expression of those genes. So if you have genetic expressions, they're not guaranteed to be expressed. We call it turn on or off. You can't actually turn them on or off, but that's like the best way we can describe it, for lack of a better term. And so whatever's happening in your gut, if it's affecting your system, those genetic mutations are more likely to express. And one of the things that I'm studying right now are in the salicylates in plants, which we talked about a little bit ago, and how it can affect your gut microbiome. But I don't think that it's the salicylates itself that are causing aggression in people or are causing autism in people, because the MAO gene is also connected to autism. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that aggression and autism are two things that the salicylate intolerance creates, I think those are triggering the genetic mutation to express, and that's what's showing up, right? Because there are certain foods that have been known to express different genetic mutations. For example, fermented foods and of the sort, they are high in tyramine, and tyramine is what affects the mal gene and can cause migraines and the whole nine yards, right? Mm-hmm. And the aggression and everything we talked about. And so I'm deep in the research of really figuring out what specific foods are triggering these genetic mutations and why doesn't it affect everyone? And it would make sense that the people who can eat those like extremely high plant-based diets with tons of greens and tons of fruits and all these things don't have these sort of problems. They don't have skin conditions. They don't have stomach issues. They don't have depression or aggression, and why some do. And I'm finding that if we have gut dysbiosis for one, and it's seeping into our bloodstream, that is what's going to express our genetic mutations. And so it's also fascinating, but there's something to it. There's more to it than just like, oh, this gene is expressing because you've had it since childhood. We know through epigenetics now that mm-hmm. genes don't have to be expressed. 90% of what we do in our life is going to be the actual cause of genetic mutations expressing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on this kick right now of really understanding the chemicals in food and having gut dysbiosis and how they affect our genetic mutations. And if I had not had a traumatic childhood, would I be able to eat those foods without it expressing that specific mutation? And so it's a lot of studying, a lot of getting people who have this specific gene in different variants and different diets to really completely understand it. But it is such a beautiful process, and I'm actually putting this into my documentary.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Lynn. And that's absolutely amazing, that correlation that you're coming up with. And that ties back in, you mentioned epigenetics, but also nutrigenomics, which is how food impacts our gene expression. And this is exactly what this is about. And so, yes, indeed, what we put into our bodies, what we expose ourselves to environmentally and even psychologically can impact our gene expression and how it presents. So kudos to you for delving into that research so that you can continue to help people, you know, because if we don't research it, we're not going to be able to understand it. Thank you thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So I'm going to ask you one more question, and it's about leisure activities and wellness. And now our listeners might be interested to know how your own personal activities like rock climbing, mm-hmm. Paddle boarding, even spending time with your pit bulls. How many pit bulls do you have?
Two.
So how do your activities support your ideals and philosophies according to wellness?
So I would like to preface this by saying that I got so sick to the point where I really couldn't be active regularly. I threw a frisbee and almost had a heart attack. Like I was... Wow. My body was just like not happy. There was a lot going on that I really needed to uncover. And so now after doing all the healing that I've done, I mean, I play pickleball and I climb and I play beach volleyball and I paddleboard and all these things as often as I can, because the more you play, the lighter you are, the more vibrant your energy is going to be. And the more vibrant you are and the happier you are, you spread that energy everywhere you go. And that to me is one of the most healing thing that people can do in this world, right? Is shining your own light, just being a beacon for others to follow. And we have so many people in this world who are just so serious, their head down in their computers. They never look up. They never think what brings them joy. And they're just constantly just in the grind instead of like living, which is what we're here to do. You know, we are here to live this life and to explore and play. And I think one of the things that really cause a lot of illness is our lack of playing. You know, as adults, we just get so rigid and so structured and we forget to have fun. And it really just comes back to when I'm happy and I feel good, not only am I radiating this energy that others absolutely feel and they notice it when, you know, when they're with me in person, but it also helps me with the projects that I work on. It brings a new vitality to what I'm doing, and it actually puts me on a journey of doing what I want to be doing instead of just continuing to do something because I think I should be doing it, It's connected to every single part of my existence. If I stop playing and my body's not happy, my work fails or my relationships fail, you know? And it's just, if people understood that if they're more joyous, they're going to attract more joyous connections and more joyous opportunities, I think they would understand like the power of play.
The power of play. I love it, Lynn. Thank you for sharing that. And it's amazing that you went from not being able to throw a frisbee to paddleboarding. You've come a long way. You've put in the work for your health. And I'm happy for you. I'm so happy for you. And even more happy that now you can help others. You can share your experiences, what you've learned to help your clients and those around the world. And I think of everything you're saying as like the butterfly effect, right? Where the flap in the wings of a butterfly, so little can have... They're saying maybe it will even start a tornado, change atmospheric pressure so much, the little flutter of a butterfly's wing. So what you're doing is like the butterfly wing. It's much bigger than that. but the effect that it can have for so many people can be tornado-like. And it's grand. So thank you. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you and having you as a guest.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm really, really happy I was here.
That's all I have for you today, friend. Lynn's story highlights how our bodies have an incredible capacity to heal themselves if given the right nutrients and support. Genetic factors may play a role, but can potentially be offset by lifestyle changes. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this episode. You can connect with me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Dr. Tamar Lawful. And remember that your 5-star review and comments can guide others on a similar journey. Subscribe, rate, and download this episode to ensure you're always in the loop. Coming up next week on the show, we're diving deep into the profound connection between your emotions and genetic potential. Learn how to empower your mental well-being and sidestep future health issues, all without relying on harsh medications. Talk to you next Friday. Until then, always remember, in your journey as a healthcare professional, always raise the script on health, because together we can bring healthcare to higher levels.